White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 491.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins!
Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with TheWarEagleReader.com and by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family. You know, you are our Patreon.com family. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, we can say something today we haven't been able to say in far too long. And you know what that is, right?
Football week.
It is game week. It's football time in the South and wherever else people pay attention to such things. And after what seems like an eternity of almost, we had almost an NFL preseason of lower division and, you know, ACC and Big 12 games. And it feels like we're finally to week one of actual football, doesn't it?
It is. It's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Man, I mean, and it's not just, you know, Alcorn State. We're playing an honest to goodness, albeit an honest to goodness SEC team, and apparently a pretty good team, albeit we are playing them in the
11 a.m. Jefferson Pilot time slot of death.
Please clap.
I was going to ask you, is it time to break out the Kentucky Hate Week?
Ah, I only have Samford Hate Week on here.
Oh, well, give us Samford Hate Week.
I'll let's see if I can edit it really carefully. Here we go. Ready? Kentucky.
2019.
20. It's just for all kinds of wrong. It had the wrong team and the wrong year. Oh, well. Oh, well. We gave it a good try. I guess I should have just the background sound, and then we can just say, you know, whatever it is we want to hate. So, oh well. Oh well. This is, in fact, and indeed, the first actual game week, and we're playing an SEC team, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight, mainly, is the team that we're supposed to play, because Kentucky, it's interesting. We played Kentucky a couple of times a few years ago. And, you know, the first game, they came down to Auburn and ran the ball on us pretty good and beat us in 09. And then in 2010, we went up to Lexington. I was actually at that game. And that was a weird game where Cam just dominated them through, like, the first half. And then in, like, the third quarter, Kentucky all of a sudden exploded and came back and tied the game up inexplicably.
Randall Cobb.
Yeah, Randall Cobb. And then in the very end, we went on a methodical drive like Cam is so capable of doing when the game's on the line and marched us all the way down there, and we kicked that. It was very much a dress rehearsal for the national championship ending.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing it didn't have was Dyer, you know, getting tackled but not going down and then popping up and running some more. But at some point in that game, though, was that amazing catch or throw and catch. Remember where Cam was going out of bounds and he was like horizontal to the ground?
Yeah.
He threw the ball like right along the sideline. And I think it was Cody, wasn't it, that caught it like 15, 20 yards down
Darvin
the field?
Adams.
Or Darvin probably, yeah. And that's the one where on the highlight video, you see Chizik whooping him on the butt with the clipboard and saying, "That's a hell of a completion, baby! That's a hell," you know. And, oh, it was just so amazing. So there was a really weird play in both of those games. But I always thought that Kentucky game really was a dress rehearsal for the national championship game. And those are the only two games I was at that year. And I was at both of those. They ended exactly the same way, with a tie. And Byron kicking a field goal in the last play. So that was really weird.
Nice.
So, blessed, real, actual football is back. And what are we going to do about it?
Well, the big thing is you got, you know, preseason's over, as you said. You got to get your game day, game week routine.
Mm-hmm.
You got to plan, you know, when you're Saturday. You got to be ready. You got to have your, you know, your lucky shirt laid out, whatever, and Saturday morning routine the way it should be. So, even when we play an early game, I like to go run errands and do stuff on Saturday morning so I'm busy, so I'm not sitting around the house thinking about it.
But. Yeah. Okay, so that's different. I totally get that. But see, here the early games start at 11, so I don't have that same cushion of time that you have. So I try to sleep as late as I can since it's a Saturday in the fall when I'm, you know, working hard and everything, and this is my only chance to sleep any. I try to sleep as long as I can, like 7, 7:30, some god-awful late time like that, just insane. And then I get up, get showered and everything, get a few chores around the house done, and by, 10:30, I've got some kind of snacks cooking up, and our new Twitter buddy Boris the Tiger is sitting out ready, and Amy gets the shakers out and everything, and we have it all set up for a big time. And so the game start at 11, and then you got the 2:30, and then you got the ESPN evening game, and I guess we're not gonna have the Pac-12 midnight anymore, are we?
No, there was some games last week that started pretty late, so there'll be something that starts probably. I bet there'll be a game that starts 9 your time on TV schedule.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I always look at the schedule the day before and go, oh, there's the big Washington State, Oregon State game at 9:30. I can't wait for that one. And then every time, like, 9:30 rolls around and, like, the LSU game on ESPN is in the fourth quarter, you know, or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, I need this game to get over so I can go to bed. I never make it more than a quarter into that late one. I never do.
Yep.
I like to say I will, but it just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. I look at that game, and on paper it looks good, but when you try to watch it,
it's a trap.
That's right.
It is a trap.
It is. So
couch sleep on the couch many a time on that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right. So, all right. So we get our game day routine going. We're back in shape, all set to watch. What do you think about this season in particular, though? Before we get into Kentucky itself, I mean, just this is going to be the first game where we really have an investment, you know, in how things are going. Like, what's it like to have no crowd there, really, other than, the students? What's it like to have, you know, are they going to pipe in crowd noise? It's just there's going to be a lot of weird things to do with it. And I've only halfway paid attention to any football game so far this season. So,
I have watched a lot of the college football that has been played so far because I love college football and I missed it. So I watched a lot.
So what do you think it's going to be like for the Auburn game?
I think they're not going to do artificial crowd noise. The band will be in the stands.
They
won't be on the field. Before there won't be any pregame festivities on the field.
That's weird by itself.
No band.
Yeah.
The crowd, I think they won't do artificial crowd noise. The crowd will be there and there'll be something, but it won't be a thing where the opposing offense is trying to get a play in that they can't. You know, I think that kind of crowd factor is not going to happen this year. So I think everywhere it's going to be a little bit of a help to the road teams for that kind of stuff. You know, you're still traveling and you're sleeping in a hotel room and that kind of stuff, and you're out of your routine. But I think the stadium, being intimidating, but also the stadium, my hope is that we can at least get some of the positive effects of home field advantage, like the kind of the energy the crowd can bring to the team when they need it and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a couple of games in places where they didn't allow any crowd.
Yeah.
And I think it's tough for the team to – to generate all their own energy.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
They need to
absolutely
feed off the crowd some. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100% right. Yeah. It's otherwise it just seems like practice. It's hard to get excited for practice. Can I make a quick suggestion though? Since the eagle can't fly, can we not paint up a drone to look like an eagle and call it like Eagle One or something and fly 100%. The drone?
Well, again, we don't have to fly it in the stadium. We could just fly it from the roof of Haley Center, like over the stadium, and land it, in the far parking lot or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Do something like that. have some streamers coming off of it or something. They, I mean, it, you know, if we can't have a live animal flying, and I get that, I guess, put we've got the rope. We, John, we have the technology. We can make the world's first bionic eagle. Bum, 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 bum. Yeah, it probably would be a $6 million bird. But they need the bionic eagle, man. They need the bionic eagle flying around the stadium.
Don't give Jared any ideas, man.
Oh, no. He's going to listen to this, and, oh, I can see the wheels turning now. I see the wheels turning now. Oh, boy. All right, well, what else is going on in terms of Auburn this week? I know that I don't think we've had any more infection type things, right? That we've had negative tests and all.
That's the biggest news, is that everybody has been cleared.
Yeah.
Again, they're going to get tested twice more this week. And so one of them is Friday. So you never know. I mean, biggest moment will be when the team comes out in the field on game day. Until that moment, we won't know who's playing.
That's so crazy.
For both teams. And so I think there's going to be a lot of kind of late breaking news about people playing or not playing. So that'll be big. But the news is good for Auburn right now about that.
It's like we're playing Dungeons and Dragons college football, where before the teams come out on the field, they all have to do a saving throw.
Mm-hmm.
And just random people are going to roll, you know,
A one
or something, and be like, oh, I'm sorry, you have to go back inside and quarantine, and yeah, you missed the game. Yeah. It's so weird. It's so weird. So, yeah. But any other Auburn news that I'm not thinking of?
No. I mean, again, we made it through fall camp, you know, with no major injuries. That's huge.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that overall the team is you know, fairly healthy and ready to go. So that's exciting. I mean, we had, you know, they'll release the depth chart tomorrow on Tuesday. And so that'll be big. But remember, last year's depth chart had all six running backs listed as or.
Yeah. Cadillac.
Yeah. So let's, you know, don't go crazy about the depth chart, but it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. Well, the one thing is that one thing I thought was interesting that I did learn this week was that Chad Morris said that he wasn't sure how well, since they didn't have spring practice and he was all set to install everything new, you know, including the terminology. He wasn't sure how ready the team would be when they came in this fall. And he said they were really on top of things, that they did really well through the Zoom meetings and kind of studying on their own. That's awesome. I mean, that really speaks to the players' dedication and professionalism, if you know what I mean, professionalism.
Absolutely. It's tough to learn stuff that way, but I've heard the same stuff. So
that's really good. All right. Well, you want to get to Sucky Kentucky?
Let's talk about it.
Now, I've been seeing people saying Kentucky Hate Week, and I'm like, you know, if this was a basketball game, maybe. I don't mean this in terms. And I think it was our friend of the show, Michael Scott Nicky, who came back at me with a, you know, legitimate thing. He said Kentucky's a really good team. They're not, you know, it's nothing to sneeze at or whatever. And I was like, well, I understand. You know, I said it in a tweet, so I said it in like five words. But my deeper explanation was, I wasn't saying I don't quote unquote hate Kentucky because I don't respect them or think they're good. I know that they're pretty good. I'm just saying I've never had a reason to hate their football fans. Their basketball fans are a different story, but I've just never, you know, I've never been presented with a reason that I should have a Kentucky Hate Week in football. What do you think?
That's fair. 100% okay. On the basketball fans,
though. Well, yeah. And I know it's probably the same people, but I just, you know, they act differently in the two sports.
Yes, they are more arrogant about basketball.
As well they should be, of course. So, so this Kentucky team, I looked this up, John. I have access to things like magazines that you've maybe heard of, preseason football magazines. And I got to say, reports of Kentucky's dominance, in my opinion, are highly overrated. Now, again, I'm not trying to give them bulletin board material. I'm not trying to disrespect them. I think that they're a very fine team. And I'll tell you, there's a few positions on the field where I think they're better than us, at least in terms of experience and stuff, you know. and that they genuinely worry me to death. And they could very easily win this game. So don't get me wrong, any Kentucky fans. I'm sure thousands of you listen to our show, right? don't get me wrong. I totally am scared to death of this game, and we could very well lose it to you. And that's all well and good. What I am saying, though, is when I compare what I've been hearing from people about Kentucky's formidability, right, how formidable they are, versus what I read, like, statistic-wise and one-loss-wise, it doesn't seem to match up to me. They were 8-5 last year. I do realize they did a lot of it with smoke and mirrors with a wide receiver running the option or whatever, and that's awesome. I'm a big fan of creative offenses. You know, that's really good. But honestly, they beat, you know, their 8-5 year, they beat Toledo, Eastern Michigan. They lost to Mississippi State. They lost to South Carolina. They beat Arkansas by 4, okay? They got shut out by Georgia. They got they beat, and then they went on a little run. They beat Missouri. They lost to Tennessee at home. They beat Vanderbilt. They beat UT Martin. They beat Louisville, and then they won their bowl game against Virginia Tech. So their 8 wins were Toledo, Eastern Michigan, Arkansas, Missouri, Vanderbilt, UT Martin, Louisville, and Virginia Tech. Why should I be, and I'm just asking this straight up, okay? I'm not disrespecting. Why should that scare me?
Well, two things. One is they have reached a level of competence where the year before that they won 10 games.
Yeah.
The quarterback who's going to start against Auburn.
And okay.
This last season that you're talking about, they lost basically their first two quarterbacks, and then they went to this – mm-hmm. You know, put the wide receiver at quarterback and ran like a high school offense. And
yeah.
And that, again, they won 8 games doing that. I mean, again, you're in the SEC and yeah. You're running a high school offense with a wide receiver playing quarterback. They know you can't throw the ball, and they still won 8 games.
Yeah, that's
so cool. I think there's a level of talent and skill there that is not nothing. Mm. So, you know, I do think they are talented. I think they're on both sides of the line. I think they're well coached. The adaptability to succeed in that situation. I think a lot of teams would have floundered around and lost it. And I think they have, you know, reached kind of gradually recruited and reached a level of talent on this team that is very much middle of the pack in the SEC. I mean, I think this team is clearly, in my mind, superior to the bottom 3 teams in the West. And I think they're, you know, clearly better than Vanderbilt. I think they're better than Missouri. And I think they're probably better than South Carolina. So I think it's, you know, in my mind, it's, you know, there's Georgia, Florida, and Tennessee in the East. And I think Kentucky's battling with Tennessee. So I think they're a good team. And then also the biggest thing is it's the first game and stuff happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a huge margin for error in this game. Auburn should win this game. Auburn should beat this team. But it's not, you know, we were supposed to open with Alcorn State, who would have beaten by 60 or whatever, and we could have played everybody and worked some kinks out or whatever. And we don't get to do that. So we get to play a team without Derrick Brown and Marlon, we get to play a team with one of the best, you know, 5 offensive lines in the country, probably. So that, you know, I think that's why you should be concerned. And again, you're right. They lost to those teams. And I think, you know, teams with better defenses did a good job shutting them down last year.
Mm, you know, that's interesting.
Georgia and Tennessee in particular really clamped down on them. So.
Well, The two players that I know they have that are exceptionally good, they have a center and a punter. Now, those don't seem at first glance to be huge, but you can do quite a bit toward winning a football game by having a really good center and a really good punter. And theirs are apparently like All-American or something, right? So
yeah, no, they got multiple guys on the offensive line that are all conference kind of players. And yeah, the center is, you know, an All-American kind of player. And the punter is great. He's a stud. So you're exactly right. You just drew up their game plan right there with those two players. You know, they're gonna run the ball. They're gonna try and run the ball up straight at Auburn. They're gonna play field position. They're gonna try and punt us and keep us back on our goal line so we can't open up the offense very much. And they're gonna try and own the clock and make the game shorter, limit possessions.
Am I crazy to think that what we need to do in this game is establish our new and existing running backs and like keep them off the field and just grind it out? Would that be good?
It would, but you're right. I mean, I think their secondary is probably better than they've lost a lot of guys in the front seven. So we could probably have more success doing that. And I think, you know, run blocking is easier for a new offensive line than pass blocking.
Mm.
So if we're worried about our offensive line, it may be easier to just kind of turn them loose and, you know, say, go block whoever's in front of you and the running back will find a hole, right?
Yeah.
So you come out with a bunch of, you know, inside zone, outside zone stuff. And I could see Auburn doing that. Because, again, Kentucky's going to try and pound on us. But to me, like, that idea, that game plan of Kentucky doing that, that's, you know, this is a KJ Britt game.
Yeah.
This is an Auburn linebacker game. Zakobi McClain, Papo, KJ Britt. It is them all day long. Like, the game is going to be, you know, the Auburn defensive linemen, just keep those really good offensive linemen off of those guys. Don't let their offensive line get to the second level and block, engage KJ Britt, and KJ Britt will bring down that running back all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, he and the, you know, two safeties, I think they're going to be Sherwood and Smoke Monday. I think they're going to be coming up like missiles on a regular basis, and we're basically going to dare them to throw the ball on us. So that's how I see it, and I think, you know, Auburn can handle that kind of game. But again, Kentucky's going to want to run the ball and play defense and punt and try and pin us. You're right, pin us deep all the time, so we don't feel comfortable, doing anything. We don't feel comfortable having Bo Nix throw passes because we're so deep on our own end of the field.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's what they're going to try to do. And then they're going to try to just hang around. Right? They just want to be in the game mm-hmm. in the middle of the second half.
Well, what do we know about Terry Wilson other than he's 6'3", 205, he's a senior, and he was doing well for him 2 years ago and got hurt. I mean, is he a great passer? Do they have receivers? What should we – you drew up – I know that they have two good running backs and they have a good offensive line, so that worries me enough. But are they going to be able to throw it over our heads, or is he just going to be handing it off? What do you think?
He's not a great passer. He's not incredibly accurate. I mean, he's okay, but he's, I don't know, the Wayne Madkin school of passing.
Okay.
But he's also – he's not like – he's solid. He's not great. He's not, the quarterbacks we faced last year. But he's an okay runner, but he's not like an explosive guy you're scared to death. He's going to get the edge and get his own yards. But he's good. He's a good leader, and he gets the team, and doing the right things. And I think he could throw enough, you know what I'm saying, that if a team was – being overpowered by their running game, then he could take advantage of it. And they've had some pretty big physical kind of receivers, not, real burners or anything, but guys that could block and then guys that could, if he throws the ball up, could go get it. So,
yeah, that's what worries me, is that they're going to establish the run and then be able to start doing some little short passes and everything and just chewing up the clock. I think that between keeping us pinned deep with the punter, keeping the time of possession, keeping their running backs out there chewing up ground. That's what worries me, is this is going to be a low-scoring game where they're able to keep our offense off the field a lot. And, I mean, this is one way that Chad Morris actually gives me a little encouragement here, is because I think that Gus, as we all know, Gus does like to get cute a lot more than we might, like.
Mm-hmm.
He'll go like boring, 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 cute, cute, and then it's, you're punting or whatever. And whereas I feel like Morris might actually have a little more of a cohesive plan. I don't want to insult Gus, but, something that won't just like squander downs when we're deep in our own end. Because that's the one thing I feel like Gus sometimes does, is he squanders downs when we need to make 3 yards or 4 yards in a cloud of dust. we'll get like 3 yards, and then we'll do some crazy Statue of Liberty reverse play that loses 2 yards, and it's third and, you know, third and 8 or whatever. So
that's fair. I mean, I do think, you know, that this is going to be the thing that everybody's going to be watching is what's different. You know, what's new in the offense? What do we see we didn't see before?
Well, and the tight end, right? That's what we're hearing.
Yep.
All right. Well, before we get to that, let me see what else we want to talk about with Kentucky. It's easy to gravitate over to what Auburn can do, but we want to understand Kentucky here.
No, I think we've got most of it.
We talk about Kavoisi Smoke, 6 yards a carry.
Yeah. They have three good running backs, really.
Yeah.
Rose and Smoke. Smoke is, you know, watching the film, Rose is more of an inside guy. Smoke's like a slasher. He's pretty good.
Oh, boy.
And so, they have solid running backs. Their secondary is very good. They don't give up a lot of big plays, and they don't make a ton of mistakes. So, they're well coached in that way. So, again, they're not going to beat themselves, I think. But I do think, you know, if Auburn can stop the run, then it's, you know, they have literally no scenario to beat us, I don't think.
Right. What do we think about Stoops? We don't see him enough to really formulate, as far as I'm concerned, a strong opinion most of the time. But now that we're kind of having to look at him, is he a good coach? Is he a great coach? Is he just pulling rabbits out of his hat at Kentucky? I saw that his total overall win-loss right now is exactly 500.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think for Kentucky, he's a very good coach. I think he's recruited very well. Yeah. For them, I think their overall talent level 1 to 85 is as good as it's ever been, and you know, I think they've, you know, had some high profile talented guys leave, and they keep bringing in talented guys behind them. So, yeah, he's going over into Ohio and stealing good players. So, I think he's a good coach. I think, you know, the talent differential between, you know, them and Georgia or Florida is too much to break through, probably. But, you know, I think their coordinators are both good. They're both smart, talented guys. And I think, you know, their team will be ready to play. And I think they know they can, you know, they want to come into Auburn and you know, kind of jump on us, you know, at the beginning of the game and get us off balance and try and steal it.
I'm just noticing the last 4 years, Stoops' record is 7-6, 7-6, 10-3, 8-5. That's like one win away from being exactly pretty much what we have the last 4 years. Because we were 7-6 in 2015, and then been mostly 8-5, 8-5. You know, we had the 1-10 and whatever.
With a much easier schedule.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is the main difference is there in the East. Yeah, absolutely. But still, I mean, I don't know. That's pretty impressive to me. So, yeah, it wouldn't be quite as good if they played who we play. If they played Alabama and Texas A&M and LSU.
Or they're playing Oregon instead of Louisville or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, that's the truth. All right, well, let's look at our offense a little bit. We talked about it some last week, but what do we know now, and what do we think is going to work well against Kentucky? Oh, and by the way, I meant to ask you. So the latest I've heard is we still don't even know if Joey Gatewood is going to be able to play this season. There was some talk.
He has not been cleared, yeah.
Yeah, he has not been cleared. Of course, he hadn't been not cleared either, so they're still waiting. And there was some talk that there was some kind of a, quote, gentleman's agreement, unquote, that even if he could play, they wouldn't play him. I never believed that, simply because if you got a player, you know, of his ability, you're going to play him. You're not going to say, oh, no, we'll keep that bullet out of our gun, sir, you know. And so, I expect that if they clear him between now and Saturday, if he's planning on playing, and why would they ask if they were, you know, going to redshirt him? So I 100%, if he gets cleared between now and Saturday, I expect to see him in the game.
I agree.
Yeah.
At least think like goal line or short yardage or something.
Yeah. And he's not, I mean, he's not Burt or whatever, but I could still see them kind of like letting him stick it to us, you know?
Sure.
The way that Arkansas used to like to do against Gus. So what about our offense do you think, do we know this week that we didn't know during the barbecue show, and what do you think? I was saying that I think that getting those new running backs cooking would really help. What else, what do you think?
I agree. I mean, I think that and we got to break some big plays. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing we want to see in this game. A couple of big runs from the running backs and a couple of big passes from Dix. I think we need to see some you know, plays greater than 20 yards. And I think we'll see it. I think they can do it. I think these new the running backs we're going to play this year can make that happen. And I think, you know, I think the receivers with the, you know, the new passing game that the new coordinators brought in, I think will work that way. I think, and I think Bo Nix is, you know, his starting last year in all his games, it cost us some games, but there's a benefit to that, that he's been through the wars and he's not going to be phased if, you know, we're in a close game against Kentucky in the second half. He's going to be out there making plays. And I think, you know, Morris can put him in situations to be really successful. I think we're going to see it.
I agree. Yeah, I do think that we can put together some kind of a diversified offense with a coherent scheme to it and use it to try to control the ball, keep their offense, their offensive line off the field, and score some dang points, you know, just get a little padding, get up a little bit. I'm not taking this game for granted at all. They scare me to death, but I feel like this is an Auburn team. I feel like on defense we have the weapons to limit even a pretty good running attack, you know?
Absolutely.
Make them one-dimensional.
No, but I liked what your head was at. Like, let's jump on them and make them play from behind, right? Because that's not what they're
No.
That's not where they're comfortable.
No, that would be great.
Use the offense to put the pressure on them.
Yeah. So – special teams. You had a note. He'll see big special teams play. Go ahead.
Just in the game so far this season, there's been a lot of bad special teams plays or a lot of big special teams plays. And I think some of that is the lack of practice time in the spring and the lack of ability to do this. And so I think the special teams are going to make me nervous in this game. You know, not just that they have a really good punter, but every return, every snap, the stuff can happen.
Yeah, and it's been weird. It's been very ragged. Yeah, it's like it's kind of like they all these teams focused on the main things, and that just kind of what fell through the cracks a little bit, and it's made the difference in some games, and that's interesting. Okay, any other thoughts about the Kentucky team, the Kentucky game, before we get on to our other features here in the second half?
No, other than just I expect it to be close.
Yeah, I do too. I like I said, I'm not taking this game for granted at all. It's I want so bad to look ahead to Georgia because, and man, next Monday night when we reconvene, I'm going to have so much to say because I really honestly feel like if we can't beat Georgia this year, I don't know when we're going to do it because everything just sets up, you know, to play them early. They don't like, you know, we don't usually play them early, get them before they've come together, their quarterback issues, they won't have fans in the stands, you know. I mean, they're just, if we have to play them on the road, this is the year to do it, you know. There's just so many things. I want so bad to look ahead, but we can't because Kentucky's, as we said, is a darn fine team. We got to take care of business on Saturday.
That's right.
Man.
It's 100% correct. No looking ahead. Mm-mm. Don't do it.
No. Well, we got to pause here to thank the folks that let us not look ahead and look at the immediate situation. And those are the folks that pay the bills, keep the lights on at the Palatial White Rocket Studios so we can do shows like this. And in fact, and those of you that follow yard sale artist Jared Albrick, who appears on our show every now and then with his Eagle, with Pat and the Eagle updates, or he had a feature on our video show last week. He and I and his brother Jason are all they're both military guys, and so we did a look at Hunt for Red October, Patriot Games, and Clear and Present Danger, the first three Jack Ryan movies. We kind of talked about the books, talked about the movies and everything, and we did that, and that episode is up now on our sister podcast channel, which is White Rocket .podbean.com. So just again, you can always, for any of our shows, just go to www.plexico.net, plexico.net. That's my central hub. There's links to all the Wishbone stuff there, but there's also links to the James Bond show we do, and there's links to all of the White Rocket podcast, which if you don't know, if you just listen to this show but you like pop culture too, John and I do a lot of episodes of the White Rocket show. Jared and I do a lot of episodes. I have a few other people that come on regularly. We do shows about TV, movies, books, comics, all kinds of fun stuff on there. Stuff that we want to talk about but doesn't really fit into our Auburn show, right? So go over to Plexico, PLEXICO.net, or just go to the to whiterocket.podbean.com, and you can check it out. Let's see. We have to thank our patrons who make all that possible. And we don't do ads on our shows. We depend entirely on our listeners for support. So you guys allow these shows to happen. So we have to thank our current patrons, including Samuel Salvatore. I was able to get, they finally fixed the Patreon site so I can see everybody's full names. I'm so excited. I won't mess up names as much maybe now. We have Samuel Salvatore and Christopher Burleson. We have Bart Lindsay, Bradley Blackman, Brian Gray, Chris Usher, and... hold on a second. I have a thing messed up here. And then Gary Grant, Logan Chilton, Phil Amthor, Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Tom Anderson, Willie Carden, Ann Kangian, A.U. Folding Up, Ben Bloodworth, Clay Henson, Connor Davis, Dan Thompson, Daniel Odom, David Evers, David Hegler, Emmanuel Seaman, George Gaston, Jacob and Robin Fleming, James Greenwell, Joel Beckham, John McCune, John Otsuki, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Mickey B, Phil Davis, Preston Settle, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Steve Harlan, Timothy, WDE Ritchie, Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Winston Body, Alex Wynn, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, our newest patron, Cato the Barner, Chris Hilton, and we have Chris Thrash, Danny Flack, Darius Bitten, David Simpson, Di Bama, that's always a sentiment I echo, Earl Ricks, Eric Mahan, Hugh Anderson, Josh Teal, Kevin Kenoy, Kevin Mahan, Lane Middleton, Mike Finley, Papa Todd, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Ross, Russell Milling, Shannon Butson, Sarah Hines, Shane Bailey, Snowdog, Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Todd Gray, Tony Perry, Auburn Elvis, thank you very much, Ben Amos, Brandon Smith, Chris Camo, Darren Pyle, David Smiley, Donnie Reynolds, Ivor Evans, James Taylor, Jason Albrick, John Stubbs, John Zavachin, Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, Justin Bean, Lawrence Kane, we're almost to the end now, Mark Squire, Matthew Flowers, Mick Vigicana, Nicholas Craig, Patrick Williams, Paul Bankson, Robert Drain, Robert O'Sammons, and finally, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Spanky, Stephen Thompson, Trevor Johnson, Kenneth Brent Rains, Brant Rumble, Chris, plus our one-time and anonymous donors. We thank you all. Go to www.auwishbone.com and click on the Become a Patron. That's www.auwishbone.com. You can also go there and, of course, check out our sweatshirts as the fall arrives tomorrow, and our various T-shirts and blankets and all kind of cool stuff with the AU Wishbone and cool Auburn stuff on it. All right. www.auwishbone.com. We thank you all. And by the way, you might have noticed they put the list in a little bit different order this time. I never know what Patreon is doing. They change this thing all the time. So don't be offended if your name was in a different place. I had nothing to do with it. The Patreon keeps changing the website, and it looks different like every time I log on. Okay, John, let's see. What have we got? Have we got a power poll? How exciting.
We do. The new power poll from the patrons is up, and this is the preseason edition. We're going to do this every week. We'll send it to them, Saturday night, Sunday morning.
I don't think I got one in this time. I usually get them, right. But
I will include you next time. So, okay. The poll results look like this. Mm-hmm. The bottom. I'm going to go from bottom to top. The bottom tier.
Yep.
Is kind of in order from bottom going up: Arkansas, Vanderbilt, Missouri.
Yeah.
And then there's kind of a bad tier. South Carolina, Mississippi State, Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And then there's kind of, the mediocre to good East teams, Kentucky and Tennessee right next to each other.
Yeah.
Then kind of the good West teams next to each other, A&M and LSU kind of next to each other.
Okay.
Right there. Okay, and now there's only four teams left.
I'm liking it.
Tied for fourth and third, Florida and Georgia.
Oh.
Yeah, didn't see that coming, did you?
No.
Auburn clearly in second place, only a few votes behind Alabama.
Wow, that did not. That's interesting. Well, I feel like any other fan base that was offered those choices would not have had us a clear second. I feel some home cooking. I smell some home cooking going on. I think, John, I think that no other fan base would have had it come out that way, but...
I don't have facts to back this up.
But I suspect it.
There's a lot of confidence there. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All right. So that's the power poll. So if you join and become a patron of the show for as little as a dollar a month. I didn't say that part at the beginning. I kind of messed up. But yeah, for as little as a dollar a month, you join and you get to be a voter in the official AU Wishbone SEC Power Poll every week. John mails out the links, and it's really cool, actually. You don't have to type anything. It's nothing annoying. John sends out a little link. You click on the link, and it takes you to a web page where you can just slide the teams around and rank them however you want to and then submit it. It's awesome. It's really kind of fun. It only takes a couple of minutes, and it's very fun. So that's why I'm mad that I didn't get to do it this week. And we do not have an Eagle update from Jared, but I'm putting it to him now because I know he listens. He's a good man that way and many other ways. Jared, we need to know if the Bionic Eagle is possible. Do we have the technology? Do we have the ability to create the world's first Bionic Eagle? Da, 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 bump. All right. So now I've thrown it. I've joined the writer's room. Jared's place. Apparently, I'm now in the writer's room. I put myself in the writer's room with Jared and his crew. Okay, so last week we had the big barbecue episode. How did you think that went?
I thought it was great. It's out there, audio and video. It was fun.
Yep.
You could, if you are dying to hear or see us eat barbecue, but also predict the results of every SEC game, go listen to it or watch it. It was a fun episode.
Well, now I'm kind of curious as to how it's doing. So. Let me look real quick. If it's embarrassing, I'm not even going to report it to you. But let's see. Let me pause it because it's going to start playing. There. Ah, we've had 138 views on YouTube. That's pretty good. I think a whole lot of people watch it on Twitter and Facebook, too, that doesn't count on there. So yeah. It's probably had several hundred views between Facebook, YouTube, and then Twitter, Periscope. So pretty good. Yeah, not bad. Very cool. I enjoyed that a lot. I had fun. So... I hope we can do more video episodes this fall when the opportunity presents itself, and that'll be cool. Let's see. Is it time to hit the button?
It is time.
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
All right. So what have we got?
We have questions.
Woohoo.
From our listeners.
Yes.
All right. First question. This is from Eric.
Okay.
What narrative that we keep hearing about the 2020 football team will be proven wrong in game one? Bold predictions only, please.
Okay. Hold on. Run that one by me again. I'm sorry. I got to make sure I wrap my brain around it.
What narrative that we keep hearing about the 2020 football team will be proven wrong in game one? Bold predictions only, please.
You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say that the narrative that the offensive line is going to take a while to come together and they're not going to be effective, they're going to be the weak link. I think we're going to put five guys out there that aren't going to be like five seniors or anything, but I think they'll be just about as effective as last year's team was. I honestly think last year's group maybe underachieved a bit. And I think that this year's group has the potential to overachieve a little bit. So my bold prediction is that you're not going to see a big drop-off with the offensive line. They're going to go out there and get the dang job done. What do you say?
I like it.
All right.
My bold prediction is that Auburn lost two generational talents on the defensive line.
Yep.
And at the end of the year, the overall defense,
mm-hmm.
you won't be able to tell.
I like it. See, I was thinking that too. I was thinking we're not going to have the two studs that just single-handedly can dismantle the center of the line, but I think we've got, you know, we lose our two 11s, but we've still got a whole bunch of nines, right?
We do. We got Roddy Garner and a whole bunch of like four-star studs on the defensive line.
That's right.
That we got, you know, 12, 14 guys deep there, easy.
Yeah.
And We're gonna be okay on the defensive line.
I think so.
And again, all they got to do is keep the guys off the linebackers this year, and those guys are gonna wreak havoc.
That's exactly right. I agree. Good. All right,
following up on your bold prediction, this one is from Derek Turnipseed. How concerned should Auburn fans be about the offensive line?
No, I think it's perfectly natural and logical to be concerned about it. And this is, again, these are bold predictions. These aren't like facts. I mean,
This is a different question, so you don't have to be bold anymore.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that we were being bold, but it's perfectly reasonable to have doubts. That it is a bold prediction to say nothing will be bad, that it'll be good. But I think it's perfectly reasonable to have doubts about it, and we're really not going to know until like halfway through the first half of the game Saturday.
Well, and again, like I think that they may come out in game one and be fine at run blocking.
Yeah.
And maybe be fine at some pass blocking, but I think that the pass blocking as a unit, mm-hmm. when the other team starts doing sophisticated stuff, they're doing these delayed blitzes and stunts and all this kind of stuff. I think if you don't have a group that's played a lot of games together, they're going to miss somebody in that situation, and the Bo Nix is going to be running for his life and throwing it away. So I think we don't want to be in a situation where there's a lot of third and tens and we're putting Bo Nix in that situation just early in the season. I mean, again, I'm not looking ahead, but I particularly worry about that with this offensive line in the Georgia game. So but I do think they could come out and run the ball. I think, should fans be worried a little bit? Yeah, it's reasonable. The couple guys on the line last year got drafted and stuff, so they weren't untalented. But I think the other piece is, I think, having more explosive running backs, having a better passing game will make the offensive line look better. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, every offensive lines look better when they had carry on.
Yeah, that's exactly. Well, and the other point I would make about that is that's what I was doing a poor job of explaining earlier, but this is exactly what I was getting at with Chad Morris's offense, is that I feel like using the tight ends, using the running backs in the passing game, these are all providing Bo with places to go with the ball in those situations where he normally would get sacked or chased around or killed. Now he'll have a place to go with the ball to not lose anything. You know what I mean? Maybe he won't gain much, but to get back across the line of scrimmage. Yes. That's
been not just that, but like then gain some positive yards. One of the things about kind of new school offense is if the defense is backed way off and they're covering the receivers downfield, just dump it off and take the 7 yards they're giving you. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yes, absolutely. And that's something that's been missing out of our offense for so long.
Yes,
we're good at some things, but we've just never put any emphasis on that. And, we really, the last few years, we really did kind of turn into that offense I don't like. We used to be the kind of offense I absolutely love. My favorite offense of all time is what we ran in 2009, 2010, But we've sort of turned into that either run the ball up the middle or drop back and survey the field and pass it, and that's my least favorite kind of offense.
Well, and how many of our passes the last 2 years or 3 years were screen passes?
Yeah.
That's that sideways, three receivers out there doing a little screen.
Well, now, and see, look, there's a difference between the kind of screen pass you're talking about that we've done a lot, which is like the bubble screen and the tunnel screens and all that, versus the quarterback being running around looking like he's in trouble and dumping it off the running back who just cuts up the flat, two-thirds way across the field and gets a bunch of yards. Those we don't do. We only do those immediate quick pass bubble screens, and they have their place. They're not horrible, but we talked about this last week. That's such a predetermined play. That's not a release valve. That's the play.
No, you're right.
So, if that's not there, there's nothing. Yeah, we want something to be like an option, a third option. Is Seth covered? Is Schwartz or whoever covered? Okay, now you throw it to Mark Anthony Richards, or now you throw it to Tank, or now you throw it to the tight end, one of them. We got 8,000 of them. That's what I want, so... Yeah. Okay.
All right. Next question is from Carl Von Drunker.
Yep.
Who says, is anything other than a dominant, convincing win over Kentucky acceptable? And at what number of games will Shivers stay the starter or feature back? I mean, to his first part, I think we've already answered that. A win is,
yes,
is what we want, and we'll take it.
3-2, people will talk about on Twitter for 100 years like they do the Mississippi State game. I couldn't care less. I just want to win and go on to Georgia. But, and yeah, no, Shivers, go ahead. What do you think, Shivers?
I think he's going to start every single game. I don't know if he will get the most carries in any game.
That's interesting. Yeah. No, I don't think he's going to get the most carries. But you notice he's a captain. The captains came out.
Yeah. Again, I think he's going to start. I think he's going to – maybe he plays more than we think he does.
I see more number nine last year than I see Lionel James. But I'll tell you this. He and that's not a slight on number nine last year. What's his
name? Cam Martin.
Cam Martin. Yeah, that's not a slight. Cam Martin was a tough guy, and I was glad to have him on the team. I have no problem with Cam Martin, but he wasn't on every down SEC back. He just wasn't.
No.
And you know, I need to – and Shivers, I mean, you can't take anything away from Shivers. His attitude, he's a bulldog. Not the Georgia type or the Mississippi State type. He's just a bulldog. He is an attack dog. He does not mess around. His attitude, his fierceness, I wish every player on the team was like him. But that being said, there's only so much you can do at running back when you are that size and that, you know, he's not a every down SEC up the middle running back. He's just not. So he'll be he'll be a role player, I think.
Yeah, but if we're using a committee, I think he could be a valuable, you know, dangerous change of pace guy, you know, 7, 8, 10 carries a game.
Sure, and I hope we have to eat our words. I hope he goes out there and gets 20 carries a game and 200 yards a game. That would be great. Nothing would make me happier, man. I would love to be wrong. I would love to be able to let the other guys kind of get a rest and, you know, and sit back while junior Sean Shivers, you know, all these freshmen can chill while junior Sean Shivers goes out there and tears it up. That would be awesome. I would love to see it. Good Lord. I'd love to.
I mean, I think regardless of who the feature back is, I think we're going to play three running backs in every
league. Oh, yeah. So. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, because DJ is going to play, Shivers is going to play, and you got to think some combination of the others is going to get in.
His other question is, Gus talked a lot about having an old-school camp. Does this give Auburn advantage in tackling and ball security over teams that have less depth and had to guard player health? And I think the answer is 100%.
Yes.
I think I've seen a lot of bad tackling out there in the first couple weeks, and I do not expect to see that at all from Auburn.
Because no.
They played in a very physical camp, and you know that Steele and those defensive coaches are not going to let them get away with not being able to tackle.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the defense at all. Not a bit.
And I think having those kind of practices prepared the offense too to play a physical game and come out and from the first moment be ready. So
absolutely, I'm getting more fired up by the second, John. I'm ready to kick it off right now. What time's the game start?
Okay, we got a couple more good questions here. So Wayne asks, wouldn't winning the 2020 national title be the most Auburn thing ever? Have a huge asterisk and rival fans dismissing it forever.
That would absolutely – this is the thing, though. The one thing that bothers me about it is that so many Auburn people are thinking that way. When lots of Auburn people are thinking we're going to win the national championship, even for a bad reason like that, it doesn't happen. We need to be not even thinking that. We need to be thinking, man, this team, they're going to do 7-5, you know? I mean, or I guess 5-5, whatever you want to say this weird year. It worries me that we've gone to the point now – Auburn fans are to the point now where we know we're not going to be good in years we're supposed to be good. So when a year comes along that things are not optimal, we immediately go, oh, this is an Auburn year.
We're a team that thrives in chaos.
Yeah, well, chaos Auburn, that's what they call us.
And also, I do think that, like, Gus and Morris being high school coaches gives them – they can adapt. A lot of this year is going to be adapting and that kind of stuff. And I think they can do that.
It is. You're right. Yeah. I've heard national media referring to us multiple times the last week or two as Chaos Auburn, which I think is kind of funny. I'd rather be like Great Auburn, but if we can't be that, I'd rather be Chaos Auburn than Crappy Auburn, you know?
That's fair.
So.
All right. Our next question is from Ken Ringer.
I've heard of him.
Author of Lorendo.
Yes. Finer books, online bookstores everywhere.
And so he says, how many yards will Auburn throw for on Saturday?
Ooh.
He predicts 30 passes, 300 yards passing.
I don't have facts to back this up.
It just keeps coming up this episode. I don't know. It's amazing. So he predicts how much?
He predicts 300 yards passing on 30 passes. And he told me the other day he thought Auburn would pass more than they run in this game.
Really?
Yes.
I will be surprised if we pass more than we run in this game. But that's interesting. I like that he's laying out a scenario I hadn't really considered. That's good. What do you think? I'm kind of taking it all in.
Again, I think we have the receivers and the quarterback to do some damage in the air.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would take a lot of pressure off the rest of the team if we were making a bunch of big plays in the passing game and moving up and down the field. So, and also, like, we play Georgia next week, and not in a look ahead sense, but if you got to work some stuff out, you got to do it now in this game.
This
you
is
know
it.
What I'm saying?
This is Alcorn State, North Carolina, and everybody else.
And Ole Miss. Like, we're not going to keep everything in the bag for next week. We got to get Bo and the receiver some time and make it happen.
I'm going to say 225 passing and 225 running.
All right. I like that.
I think it's going to be about even. Neither one's spectacular, but both pretty good and good enough to win the game. I guess we should at some point predict the score, huh? Or the outcome at least. We both think we're going to win, right?
Yes, we think we're going to win.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like 24-17, Auburn.
I like that. I like that. I was going to say like 27-20.
Okay.
Maybe or 27-17.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. Where Auburn scores late to make it come more comfortable.
Watch it be 45-3 or something.
It could be.
But I feel like it's going to be close till the end, really. I think we'll get them in the fourth quarter. But I think it'll probably be like 17-17, you know, at one point or something like that.
Again, like Georgia beat them solidly last year, but I think it was like 16-0. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, yeah. It wasn't a high-scoring game. I don't think they scored on Georgia, but I don't think Georgia scored a lot on them either, honestly. So.
No, and I think the Florida game last year with them was like 27-23 or something. So.
Yeah.
All right. One last question. This is from Willie Carden, who says, "War Eagle friends.
Yeah.
My question is, who's going to replace T. Will as linebackers coach when he signs a record deal with Def Jam, Def Row, Cash Money, or some other record label? The secret is out on his lyrical mastery."
I forgot that Willie has like a music venue place. I think I want to say in Nashville. I may be misremembering. I apologize. But he has like a place, you know, a music club place. He's he's quite the record mogul, basically. And so he texted me this afternoon asking, "Have you seen this?" I was like, "I did." And he's like, "Unbelievable." So, yeah, he was quite taken with T. Will. If you guys out there haven't seen it, you need to go find Coach T. Will doing his freestyle. I don't even know what it was. Rapping, I guess, singing kind of. Deal. It was very in front of the team. It was very impressive. I'm not worried about him leaving for a music career, although clearly he has the potential. I worry about him going off to be a defensive coordinator somewhere because I think he's really a key component of our staff.
He is a huge factor.
Yeah. The day is coming.
Questions. So all thank right. you, everybody, for so many questions. And if you want some for next week, if you have thoughts immediately after the game and you want to send them to us, you could send them to auwishbone@gmail.com or send them to me on Twitter.
There we go. And now,
let's take a trip around the FTC.
Come on, man.
All right. So what we got this week? Well, we have 11 o'clock games, John. We have our game at 11, which means that we're going to be missing the Florida Ole Miss debut of Lane Kiffin for the Rebels. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they do. I think Florida's a lot better team, but it's, you know, Lane will have him fired up for his first game. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what they could do, who he chooses to play at quarterback, and what the offense looks like.
Honestly, and, you know, the funny thing is this is not what we would consider a great SEC slate of games, and yet because it's the first week and because it's so much better than anything we've seen so far this year,
I'm delighted.
This may be the drag out the other TV and hook it up next to the one in the living room week. I'll certainly be doing that next week, but I may have to drag the TV out to have Florida Ole Miss on while I'm watching Auburn and Kentucky on the big screen, because I'm kind of curious about that game. And then at 2:30 we have the game that I'm really interested in, and obviously CBS was too. Mississippi State at LSU, the Pirate against the Corn Dogs. Man, how cool!
Yeah, I mean, the completely rebuilt defending national champion LSU team.
Yep.
You know, against the Mike Leach air raid offense in the SEC. And I think it's going to be fascinating. That's going to be really fun to watch.
It is going to be. It's going to be so weird. But, yeah, we got to see it. And then somewhere around in there in the afternoon, we have Georgia at Arkansas. Is that just going to be an utter beatdown? Is it just going to be ugly?
Yes, ugly.
I'm scared. Yeah, I don't think that's – you know, maybe –
watching so I can learn something about Georgia and their new offense, a quarterback, but that's the only reason, because otherwise it's going to be a massacre.
As Pat Dye would say, it's going to be a bloodletting.
It's going to be bad.
I think the 6 o'clock, 7 Eastern, 7:30 time frame, you got three options. I don't know that anybody wants to see Vanderbilt go to Texas A&M. I mean, you might want to see what Mond is doing, but otherwise.
It's good that you don't want to see that, because it's like on the SEC Network alternate.
So
you may have a hard time finding that game.
That's the channel where a guy stands up on top of the stadium and does semaphore flags. Oh, he's saying seventh down. Oh, wait, no, third down. I misread. It's third down. Okay, so Bama at Missouri. Again, that's one of those that you might want to turn on for 5 minutes just to see if it's everything you think it'll be. But I guess
Missouri had some guys test positive, so it's going to be bad.
I think that Missouri probably had some guys test positive for Alabama's coming to town. Coach, coach, I got to see the nurse. I think I'll probably be watching Tennessee at South Carolina. At least that should be a fairly interesting matchup for a while.
It may be two guys beating each other with rocks, but if you find it interesting, it'll be that kind of interesting. At least it'll be close.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The rocks are similar sizes that they're throwing at each other. Yeah, it's a rock fight. I love it. Okay, well, yeah, so basically this Saturday's slate of games tilts very heavily toward the early part of the day.
Yes.
So I'll be watching Florida Ole Miss, Auburn, Kentucky, of course, and then I'll be watching LSU, Mississippi State, and after that, it's every man for himself.
That's it. Then it's, chill out, get a pizza, watch the Auburn game again.
Yeah, hopefully there'll be something worth watching again. Yeah, and I guess we'll see what the other conferences are doing at that point. So we're still a month away from the Big Ten even starting play. That's mind-blowing. And we don't even know if the Pac-12 is going to play. So, oh, boy, they hadn't said anything. Well, all right, I think we're to the end. I think that was pretty good. It certainly got me more excited than I already was, which didn't seem possible. So I think we've mission accomplished, you know?
I am fired up and ready for SEC football.
Let's get it on, boy. Get it on. All right. Let's do it. So, any last thoughts before we wrap it up for tonight, John?
Let's give him hell. I don't know. War Eagle, man.
War Eagle. Hey. All right, our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.